Welcome to another special CI Center podcast. Today we're talking about the Signals Intelligence Communications Intelligence or Information Assurance Spies, course number 125. And we're here with Vice President of the CI Center, Connie Allen, to talk about this course. Connie, can you tell us a little bit more about this course, what you talk about?
This course is designed to be an eye-opening journey from the historical to modern-day espionage that targeted both our signals intelligence and communications intelligence, communication security, or what today is called information assurance spies. We can go back the beginning of World War II and start looking at some penetrations that could have affected World War II in a much different way had John Cairncross, a spy for the Russians, been providing the Germans with the ultra-decrypts instead of our wartime ally, the Soviet Union. So we see an early penetration there of one of the most protected programs that the British ran during World War II and, of course, shared information with us. We talk about a lesser-known spy but a very damaging spy by the name of Robert Lee Johnson, another Army sergeant who gained access to communications information, our codes, through his job as a guard at the Armed Forces Courier Station at Orly Airport outside of Paris, France. It's interesting that he learned one of the vulnerabilities was that no one wanted to do guard duty on weekends, and if he volunteered for guard duty, then he was alone, which gave him basically unfettered access once he was able to penetrate not one, not two, but three different locking mechanisms and actually get into the vault. This was so productive that some of the information was actually flown directly from Paris to Moscow the night it was received. The Russians ran an extensive operation. It lasted for about a year and a half, and about 17 shipments of our classified information out of that station. The most famous communication security spy would be John Walker and his band of Confederates. ComSec today is referred to, again, as information assurance. And John Walker had volunteered to work for the Soviet Union back in December of 1967, ended up recruiting his brother, who was a retired Navy O4, his best friend, who was still a serving Navy non-commissioned officer who had access to ComSec information, and eventually his young son, Michael, who was also in the Navy. If it were not for a spurned ex-wife who was not being treated fairly in terms of alimony, that penetration might still be going on today. But we have Barbara Walker to thank for tipping us off about her ex-husband, John Walker. There's my famous spy who happened to be at the National Security Agency. Unfortunately, was another Army sergeant. His name was Jack Dunlap. Jack worked for the Russians for 3 years, spying for the Russian Military Intelligence, or the GRU. In 1963, he decided to leave the Army and apply for a civilian job at the National Security Agency, where he would maintain his access. Interestingly enough, Dunlap was not a SIGINT analyst, didn't really do anything with the SIGINT or communications intelligence world. He was the driver for the number two man at NSA at the time, and through access as a courier and sometimes working in the distribution room, he was picking up information and selling it to the Russians. All told, he made about $60,000 in 3 years. When Jack had to take a polygraph for employment with the National Security Agency, he had some problems on a couple minor issues because he was still on active duty, the NSA told the Army. We pulled his clearance, put him in an administrative job, but Jack started to sweat because the first polygraph had not uncovered the fact that he was a Soviet spy, but he was convinced that subsequent investigation and a polygraph would, and so he did the unexpected, and he committed suicide. About a month after he was buried, as I am told, his wife found a stack of classified NSA documents at home, brought it to his former supervisor at NSA, and said, "I don't need these, and of course Jack doesn't now." Well, in counterintelligence, we call that a clue. You're not supposed to have classified information at home. And that started our investigation, and eventually it would be verified by a long-term penetration, a man by the name of General Dmitry Polyakov, whom the FBI and the CIA had been running for a number of years. The interesting thing is today, May 3rd, 2007, Jack Dunlap still lies in rest where he was originally buried back in July of 1963. I bet you'll be surprised to learn that he is buried at Arlington National Cemetery. Among those our nation has lost an honorable service, which I find to be a very despicable thing, and this is one of my major pet peeves, is that that sorry traitor bastard is still buried at Arlington National Cemetery.
Do people know about this? Is it widely known? Does the military know?
Well, it's widely known from my courses. I talk about Jack Dunlap any chance I get because he's my poster boy for espionage. But no, I don't think it is widely known. I think because he was buried there before the investigation actually started and uncovered the fact that he was a Soviet spy, he's been just basically ignored and able to remain at Arlington National Cemetery. But I have attempted to get him dug up, but so far my efforts have fallen by the wayside.
Well, let's hope it, more people find out about that, and you can find out more about this course about the SIGINT Comment Information Assurance Spies, Course 125, at our website, thecicenter.com, CICENTRE.com, where you can find even more interesting stories and important stories for today's world. And you can also call us at 703-642-7450 or toll-free 1-800-779-4007.